Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see everybody. It's been a while, hey? Yeah, it feels like it's been too long. And Pastor Christopher, you are looking really good. I'm so blessed to be with you today. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, teaching and preaching pastor here at Mosaic House Church. And today we're starting a brand new series called I Am. We're going to look through the Gospel of John, and if you know your Bible, there's four stories, or four what's called Gospels, about the life of Jesus. And the Gospel of John is a very unique one, and one of the things that makes it so unique and different is that it has these I am sayings. And the point of John, we'll get into a little bit more, is to tell us who Jesus really is. And I encourage you, as we go throughout this series, ask yourself the question, who do you think Jesus really is? What do you believe about Jesus? And together, we're going to look through what John says about this person that we call, and some of us worship, named Jesus. So if you've turned your Bibles, today we're going to focus on I am saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoo, that's a big one. Next week, Pastor Victor's coming back. He's going to talk about I am the light of the world. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 14, and we're going to start from verses 1 all the way down to 14, all right? This is, hear the word of the Lord. And this is Jesus talking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, one of the followers or disciples of Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, another follower of Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidences of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you that we can call you Father, Dad. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, for us. And now he is preparing a place for us, our home. Help us understand what John is trying to say about this Jesus. Give us eyes to hear, or eyes to see, and ears to hear what you have for us, and may your will be done in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this morning we asked the question, have you ever gotten lost? When's the last time you ever got lost? When I was a kid, my parents and I, we moved to an acreage in the middle of nowhere, Alberta, okay? It's right by, kind of east of here, there's like all farmland. One time my dad went to go see a friend, and we're supposed to pick him up a little bit later, but there's a huge rainstorm. It was so muddy, and my mom, I was about 4 years old, and my little brother, he was about 1 or 2 years old, we were driving this rainstorm, and we got stuck in the ditch. And we had no idea where we were, the middle of nowhere. I remember we sat there for maybe an hour, didn't know what to do, so my mom was like, let's just go and just start walking. Remember, as we were walking, she was praying and singing and holding my little brother and holding me. And it was so muddy, we took off our shoes because we couldn't walk with our shoes on. And we were just praying, Lord, help us. And my mom, she was getting a little bit worried. And I was having fun, right? I'm 4 years old. Yeah, it's an adventure. The time I got worried was we came to a house, the only house we saw for like 2 hours. Nobody was there. We just walked up, knocked on the door. No one's there. And we looked in the patio window, and there's beer cans everywhere. And there was a shotgun by the table. And I started freaking out, okay? Because we were really the only brown people at like 200 kilometers, okay? There wasn't even First Nation people around.
It was white town.
Ooh, I'm so there. It was like white people everywhere, okay? We were scared. So we kind of like, oh, let's get out here. We were just wandering, like, what do we do, Lord? Help us. We have lost. And we were scared. We were troubled. Now, the disciples in this story, they too were lost, but in another sense. That's why Jesus starts this section with these words, do not let your hearts be troubled. This section in John is called the farewell discourse. It's a time that Jesus is saying goodbye to his followers. And his followers, like Philip and Thomas we met, they left everything for Jesus. Everything to follow him. And now, Jesus, you're leaving? What? All their hope, all that they longed for was in Jesus. And now he's saying he's going to go away. And to add more to this drama, in chapter 13, right before this, Jesus gives them a few bombs. He says in chapter 13, verses 21, Jesus, too, he was troubled in spirit. The disciples see that he was troubled, and he testified, very truly, one of you, my best friends, is going to betray me. And then Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going away. And where you go, where I go, you cannot come. There's a guy named Peter, kind of Jesus' best friend. He's like, Lord, I can't take this, okay? Wherever you go, I'm going to go. I'll even lay my life down for you. And then Jesus says with cutting words in chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus asked Peter, will you really lay your life down for me? I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me. You will say that you know nothing about me 3 times. The disciples, they felt that all their hope was lost. Everything was falling apart. They felt as if they were losing their way. And to this, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Preparing a home. Well, Jesus, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Have you ever felt lost? I mean, really, really lost. Maybe it was when you lost your job. Or maybe the person you loved wasn't really who you thought they were. Or maybe when something happened,
you are not who
they thought you were. Have you ever felt like that? Or maybe you are lost in your spiritual journey. You don't know the way. You feel like, I don't even know if I even believe in God anymore. Thankfully, Jesus' words are not empty encouragements, but Jesus has the power to find us where we're at and to comfort us when we feel lost, because he is the way home.
If you have your sheets, this is the first thing you can write down, but you know, if you want to. This is what I want you to know. God wants us to know today. Jesus is the way for those who have lost their way. Now, John, he writes his gospel for those who are lost. Primarily, he writes this gospel for those who are spiritually lost, who feel they have no purpose or meaning and are disconnected from God. He says in John 20, verse 30, this is kind of his mantra or his purpose of the gospel. He says, I write all these things that you may believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. And this is for Jews, for Gentiles, for anybody who reads this book. He prays that they would find life. But also, he writes to us who feel lost. John is probably the very last gospel. That is the latest written gospel. And it was written probably after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, if you know history and know the Bible, the temple in the city of Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel, was the very center of that city. It was the place where the Jews believed you could meet God, where God lived. And they were very serious about doing all these ceremonies and rituals to maintain their relationship with God. And Christianity, which was a Jewish sect, saw that the temple was a symbol pointing to Jesus. Jesus was the place where you could meet God. And yeah, they were still Jewish, so they still participated in the ceremonies and the temples, but they saw Jesus fulfilled all those symbols. This was all changed when the Jewish temple was destroyed by Rome in AD 70. And the Jewish people, they felt so lost. They didn't know what to do. They thought God had abandoned them. But then they decided to focus on the scriptures, the Old Testament, and all the laws as their primary place to meet God. They really focus on the scriptures and what they call the Torah. And the problem was, Christianity, they also held the scriptures in high regard, but they believed that all the scriptures pointed to Jesus as the divine one. This did not sit well with the Jews, so they decided to kick out all the Christians from their synagogues, from their religious places of worship, and they pushed out and they persecuted Christians, and families were broken apart. People from their own ethnic group were looking down upon them, were persecuting them, and they too were feeling lost. And even within Christian circles, at this time of the writing of John, there was a huge debate on who Jesus really was. Was he one with God? Was he God really? Or was he just a really powerful prophet of God? Still a human, but a messenger of God. And there was a huge debate, and Christians were feeling disoriented. They didn't know what to believe anymore. And John writes his gospel to show us who are lost the way home. Show us a way in our confusion and our anxiety. Jesus is the way for those who've lost their way. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at how Jesus guides us home to the Father's house in three ways. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And then we'll end with three applications. Jesus is the way for those who've lost their way. First off, Jesus is the way. Now, as you'll hear throughout this series, the book of John has about 14 I am sayings. And John is likely addressing the confusion around Jesus' identity. And he is directly connecting the identity of Jesus to the identity of God in the Old Testament. There's a book in the Old Testament called Exodus. It's a time when God's people were being held captive by probably the most powerful nation of all time, an African nation, probably more powerful than Wakanda, namely Egypt. And out of God's mercy, God chooses a simple guy named Moses to free his people from bondage. And in Exodus 3, this reluctant hero, Moses, meets God in this burning bush. And he asks God, "What is your name?" God replies, "I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. I am." And John intentionally picks up this language and uses this phrase to describe Jesus. Jesus, whose name literally means the Lord is salvation, is I am. He is one with God the Father. And in this chapter, Jesus says in verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And in verse 1, Jesus encourages us to comfort our troubled hearts by believe in God and also believe in me. Grammatically, he's kind of created this equality. Believe in God means that you're believing in Jesus because they are one. This is what it means when Jesus says, I am the way. For Jewish readers, the image of John, that John uses of the way, is kind of like a cattle trail or a deer trail. I grew up on an acreage, so, you know, have you ever seen these before? Maybe a few people, if you're hunting the deers, they always go a certain way, and they kind of create this natural trail. And for the Jewish people, the way was this path set before them, and it was typically the law of God. This is what the law says. Follow it as best you can. This is the right way. This way protects you from danger and harm. For the Greek audience, there was a school of thought called Gnosticism, which really emphasized knowledge as the way. Finding secret knowledge is the right way. Now, other religions, other belief systems have different ways, and even different Christian denominations, they claim to have the right way. This is the right way to do it. But the uniqueness of Jesus is that he doesn't say, I have the way or I show you the way. But he says, I am the way. The right way is not a set of rules or attaining knowledge or status, but it's a person. Now, this is kind of hard to wrap our minds around. So let's go through the other two, and then hopefully it will make a bit more sense, okay? Second one, Jesus is the truth. Now, in Greek culture, they had a very sophisticated idea of truth, something called the logos, where we get the word from. It's a divine reason and rationale which gave order and form and meaning to the entire cosmos. It was the truth which gave all other things truth or meaning. And John, he's really, really clever. In John 1, verse 1, he says Jesus was the Word, was the Logos. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the similar way now, same idea, John is saying Jesus is the truth, the thing which gives all other things meaning. Now, the topic of truth is kind of touchy in our culture, isn't it? We're kind of hesitant to say that I know the truth or I have the truth. And I don't think it's because that we don't believe the truth is important or we don't believe in the truth or don't want to know the truth. But we're kind of afraid that if someone says they have the truth, it will lead to superiority and exclusion and maybe the oppression of other peoples. One example is, we're not afraid to talk about truth when it comes to injustice or the oppression of certain people groups, like, for instance, the hashtag MeToo movement. We want to know the truth. I hope that someone comes to you and says, hey, did you hear about that superstar, the rock star who's accused of sexual assault? I've never heard anybody respond saying, oh, yeah, I heard about it, but you know what? You believe what you believe about him, I'll believe what I believe about him. And then, you know, we'll just be like that. Is that okay? We don't do that. We want to know the truth. And we're willing to go to court to find out the truth. And I believe that's a really good thing that's happened in our culture. But when it comes to religion or faith or God, we are kind of shy about it because we're afraid that it will lead to an attitude of superiority or exclusivity. Now, one example I'll share is I work at a place called The Mustard Seed, and we have university students come in to hang out with us and learn about poverty and homelessness. And we were talking with this university group, and there was some Christians in the group, and we were kind of sharing our own lives. And whenever a Christian spoke, he said, you know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I know that not everybody else here does. I just want to make sure you know that. I know that not everybody else here does, but it's just my own personal truth. And every Christian had to kind of justify it, saying, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I know that everybody else here doesn't do that. A Hindu, they didn't really do that. Like, I'm a Hindu, yeah, no big, yeah. It's kind of this, there's this hesitancy for us because we're afraid that it will exclude people, or we're afraid that people think that we're better than them if we believe this. Well, let me try to address these two things, okay? And it's going to be a little bit tricky. First off, it's not necessarily a bad thing to believe that your truth is true, okay? Or your truth is superior. And it's very natural for us to believe that what we believe is true. And it's important. One example is, have you guys heard of that elephant analogy in terms of religions? That is, all religions are like people with blindfolds holding a certain part of an elephant. That is, one person is holding the tail, like, oh, this must be a snake. Another person is holding the leg, oh, it must be a tree. And the argument is, all religions are the same. We are just looking at it from a different perspective. Have you guys heard about that before? Okay. What's interesting is, the origins of this story is from India, when a king invited 6 blind men to look at an elephant, and they did exactly that too. But it wasn't to say that all religions were the same. It was all to say, the point was, all religions are blind. And me, the king, and my Hindu philosophy of, I gotta say this right, Vedanta, I actually have the superior perspective to see what it really is. While one religion sees a snake, I, as a king, I'm able to see as a fully who he is, an elephant. And while this saying in our culture seems to be like, oh, we're not superior to you, we're all equal, what you're actually saying is you have a superior perspective than any other religion. You're saying that I know better than all of you. And that is actually not a bad thing, like to actually have your perspective. What I'm trying to get at is, when you believe that your truth is superior, it doesn't mean you have to have an attitude of superiority. I think that story is trying to say, if we believe we're all the same, then we won't be superior to each other. But in reality, you actually are saying that you'll have a superior perspective. If you have a truth that you hold on to, it doesn't mean that you have to have an attitude of superiority. If you really believe what you believe, just don't be a jerk about it. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? And even if you believe something is true, you can still treat others with love, others with respect. You can still disagree well. For those who are Christians, we cannot have an attitude of superiority, even if we believe Jesus is the truth, because we don't have the truth. Jesus, the person, has us. The analogy of the beggar is really, really key. Someone once told me evangelism, or sharing about Jesus, is like a beggar telling another beggar where food is. We were not a Christian because we were superior beings, that we worked hard to find the truth of Jesus. Rather, the gospel says we were beggars who were too blind and poor to see and find God. So God, through Jesus, pursued us. He found us. We are now just beggars who are saved by the grace of God, telling other beggars where to meet Jesus. God didn't choose us because we were superior, but because of his grace and love. And Jesus did not give these words to his disciples to make them feel superior, but to comfort their troubled and weak and feeble hearts. Okay? Now, in terms of exclusivity, Jesus was the most inclusive person in history. When Jesus says he is the way and the truth, that means the way to his kingdom and his requirements for salvation and to find your heavenly home is not based on your ethnicity, your gender, your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter if you're a beggar or a billionaire, or even how good or moral you are, how much good you've done in your life. They're merely based on the love and grace of Jesus. Jesus is the way for those who've lost their way. And no matter who you are or how lost you are, all you have to do is accept the love of Jesus. Put your faith in him. Trust in him. Give everything to him and love him above all else. That's all. But also because of that, Jesus is the most exclusive person in history. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, some of you might think, this is too exclusive for me. And I encourage you, I can't get this in too much, but one thing I'll look at is, and you can write this down, before judging Jesus as exclusive, please consider your own exclusivity. Now, Jesus describes our home, his kingdom, in heaven like rooms. The best way to kind of describe it is apartments. Now, would you share an apartment with anybody? Now, in Edmonton, the reality is we are afraid of having affordable housing, especially housing for people who are homeless, in our neighborhoods. That's the way we're doing. But if we're not willing to entertain the idea of having those types of people in our neighborhoods, do you really think we're able to share an apartment with the people Jesus hung out with? The sinners, the tax collectors, the telemarketers, the weird people. Would you live beside them? Think of the most annoying person you know. Think about the person who has hurt you the most in your life. Would you be willing to have an apartment next to them? Honestly. Now, if you can say yes, boy, you are closer to Jesus than you think, okay? But just think about it. Before judging Jesus as exclusive, please consider your own exclusivity, okay? The truth, Jesus is for all peoples, no matter who they are. And it's the truth, the Logos, that will set us free from being lost. It's not this abstract notion or concept, but a person. Now, for the Jewish readers who heard this idea of truth, they would have not seen truth as this abstract concept, but more like faithfulness, a life characterized by loyalty and faithfulness, which leads us to our last point. Jesus is the life. Through Jesus, we have full, abundant life. And we'll look at two aspects of life quickly. You can write these down. Jesus offers us eternal life and an empowered life through the Holy Spirit. First, Jesus offers us eternal life even after death in his Father's home. Instead of meeting God in a physical temple, we'll get to meet God and be with God face to face. But until then, we can even experience fellowship with God even now through an empowered life. Jesus does not show you the best way or show you the truth or even the best way to live. He's not this example that we should follow. He says, I am the life. Just like Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him, we are in Jesus, those who know him, and Jesus is in us. It's so complicated. I've used this example before, but imagine your favorite restaurant. I just found this, if you go to the next one, Graham, I found this really amazing Cuban restaurant in 118th Avenue. It's amazing. It's very similar to Filipino food. I love it so much. Imagine you're in this restaurant, right? Hanging out with friends. You are in the restaurant, right? You're safe, your comfort is, there's vibrancy, you're having fun. And when the food comes, oh, and it's got the rice going on, the chicken, and you eat it. The restaurant is in you. You guys get it? The food is in you, and you feel warm, feel fuzzy. It's like awesome. You are in the restaurant, and the restaurant is in you. Makes sense? I love food, okay? I love it. And that's what Jesus, we are in Jesus, but he is in us. We are in his protection. He's keeping us safe and warm. But also, he's inside giving us power and strength. That's why Jesus says, you will do greater things than me. Not because you learn all the tricks, but Jesus' very life is flowing in and through you. Through what's called the Holy Spirit. This is the third person of God. I am God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through this farewell discourse, Jesus actually wants his disciples to be happy that he's leaving. Because once he leaves, the Father is able to send the Holy Spirit to be their helper and to be their guide. And what's beautiful is we don't have to now find Jesus by searching all these places and trying to find, go to Israel and find the physical Jesus. But now we have God's divine presence who lives inside of us, who is here among us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can experience God's love and fellowship now as we overcome the power of sin, as we live transformed lives, as we participate in doing the great works of God, and as we experience joy even in the midst of hard times, of feeling lost. God is with us to empower us until we are finally able to find our way home to the Father. Jesus is the way for those who've lost their way. Jesus guides us home when we are lost because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One theologian sums it up like this, and you can write this down. The way brings us to God. The truth makes us free, and the life produces fellowship with God. Now let's end with three applications. Choose the way, know the way, and share the way. I should mention that the very last one on this page, I messed up a bit, I'm sorry, but I'll come back to this, the very last one, if you're following on your notes, all right? First off, choose the way. The way of Jesus leads us home to truth and life, which means all other ways ultimately make us lost and lead us to lies and death. And this claim makes Jesus the most divisive person in history. You can write that in your notes. Jesus didn't say, I will show you the way. He said, I am the way. And because of these claims, we can't merely follow Jesus as a good teacher or a wise person, because he claimed to be wisdom and truth itself. A few people have put it in this way. Because of what Jesus has said and what John has described about him, we only really have three choices about Jesus. He was either a lunatic, that he was a crazy man, just saying these crazy things. Either he's a liar, that all these things he said about himself were false. Or that he is who John claims him to be, Lord. He was God himself. I am who came for us, died on the cross, and was raised to life. I encourage you to, again, think about who you believe Jesus is. And explore, investigate, read the stories of Jesus, and ask Jesus to show himself to you. Number two, know the way. Whether you know Jesus as Lord already or not, I encourage you to seek to know him more and more through this series. In Exodus 3, God reveals the name I am that I am. And theologians have argued that God is known through what he does. I will be what I will be. I am what I am. His works. The God of the Old Testament, against impossible odds, sent his servant, Moses, to set his people free from slavery. And that same God, against impossible odds, sent his own son, Jesus, to set all humanity free from our lostness and our slavery to sin and death. And Jesus urges, if we have a problem believing that, look to the works for themselves. You can write this down. The I am God in the Old Testament and Jesus are known by their works. And for those who are not sure about Jesus, investigate the Bible. See what God has done for all peoples. Investigate what God has done in other people's lives. And for those who know Jesus, remember what God has done in history. What God has done in your own life, especially when you go through troubled times. Remember what God has done and look forward to what he will do in the future, even through you. The way, the truth, and life is a person. So we've got to treat him like a person. Talk to him. Spend time with him. Ask him the tough questions. Share your real feelings with him. Go for a coffee date once in a while. And share life with him and his family through Sunday celebration, through personal relationships, and through our house churches. If we're going to live together in the same apartment building for the rest of eternity, we might as well get to know each other more now, right? If I ask you whether you put the toilet paper over and under, you know what I'm doing. I'm checking who I want to be in my floor, okay? You know, I do over, by the way. Anyway, one last one. Share the way. Now that you've been found by the way, Jesus, we are now called to share the way. Again, it's not about we can't be superior to others or have an attitude of superiority, because we're not saved because we were good, but because God was good. No one is beyond the inclusive grace of God. And remember, Jesus is a person. All we can really do is introduce him to others. And write this down. Let Jesus speak for himself. Can you imagine going to a party and somebody introduces their partner or their friend to you, and you're like, oh, her name is Jill. She is awesome at this. She loves this. She grew up in this town. She did all these things. I think you should really get to know Jill. You know, I'll tell you how to get to know him. That is weird, okay? Let the person speak for himself. And that's what we got to do. Sometimes we think it's all on us. But Jesus is a person. He is real. And all we got to do is introduce him to others. And we have to realize that we will never fully understand Jesus. He is incomparable. We can only know a glimpse of him, and that's enough. And we'll never have this perfectly marketed version of Jesus we can give to anybody. Jesus is not a white man with Western values that you can learn through these four spiritual laws. That is one way to share Jesus. One way, but it's not the only way. Not always the best way. We have to be careful of our own versions and our own ideas of Jesus. One example, I've been reading a lot of Asian theology lately. And there's a Filipino theologian. He says that in the Western culture, we typically try to tell others about Jesus through our intellect, through our mind. This is what I believe about Jesus. This is how you do it, these four steps to believing in Jesus. And that's how you do it. And when that was imported to the Philippines, they're more about intuition. That is, they're not going to listen to you because you have a rational idea, but they're going to listen to you if they have a good feeling about you. And a lot of people were going up to the Filipinos like, this is what I believe. And the guy's like, this guy's a little weird. And he kind of respectfully nodded, but they didn't really listen to him. All I'm trying to say is, let Jesus speak for himself. There is not one way to share Jesus. Jesus is diverse, and he might show up in unexpected ways. We don't have to market Jesus or have all the answers. We just have to submit to his ways and just share him. Yeah, I know Jesus. He's a cool guy. He's Lord. I love him. And as we love him and genuinely love others, and we just love other people, the Holy Spirit in us will guide us as we share the way. And sometimes we need to get out of the way to let Jesus show others the way. Jesus is the way for those who have lost their way. Let me just end with a story. My mom, my brother, and I were still walking in this muddy place. We were lost. We didn't know what to do. We were freaking out. We were scared. And then we saw a car coming. And we're like, oh, no, what's going to happen? Like, I hope it's a good thing. And when the car came out, my dad came out. And in that moment, I'm like, Dad! All my anxiety, all my trouble. Once I saw my dad, I knew it was going to be okay. He hugged me. He was so happy together. And one crazy part of the story, my dad drove to the place we went to with the beer cans and the shotgun, and one of his friends got bit by a Rottweiler. God protected us. us little kids as we were lost on his way. And you can write this down. We did not need a map to show us the way. We didn't need advice. We needed our father. We needed our dad to be our way home. Once we saw our dad, everything else didn't matter. We knew that we were going to go home. We knew he was our way home. In the same way, the Father sent his son Jesus to be our way. It's not about a list of rules, not about I got to do all this stuff. But once you know Jesus, you know it's going to be okay. We're going to find our way home. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He loves you, and he's protecting you, and he wants to guide you home to be with his Father. Jesus is the way for those who've lost their way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you pursued us when we were lost, when we were dirty, when we were anxious, when our hearts were just so troubled. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to be one of us. And Lord, we have perhaps doubts. We don't understand fully how this works. So Lord, help us not just know about you. Help us to know you for who you are. I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a new way today. Whether it be you've known Jesus for many years and maybe never met him before, I pray that you would come, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit fill us, enable us to be who you want us to be. So Jesus, we just need you right now. Thank you that you are here. Give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you as you walk among us. We pray this in the powerful name of Yeshua, Jesus, I am.